Good morning. I've often, you know, as we prepare for worship service and do all the planning that takes place, I've often thought sometimes that as humans, we can all but plan the Holy Spirit right out of the service. And I don't know about you guys, but sitting here this morning up to this point, I couldn't help but just see how God has worked in our service today already with sharing in sorrow of our brothers and sisters who lost a loved one, and also enjoying and laughing with the children. And we can't discredit God for what He's doing, even in our midst here this morning. And as we continue through the book of Romans, chapter 8 this morning, it really talks about how we are children of God and we are a family, and that we do share in each other's joys and each other's sorrows. And today's message is kind of a reminder of that. But not only that, that we share in those joys and those sorrows, but also that the suffering that we go through is really not... It's nothing. It's not going to be remembered. It's nothing in compared to what God has in store for us. Romans 8, 16 through 18. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings... Indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Children of God, heirs in His glory. But there's a key part there that we can't overlook as well, and that's heirs in His suffering. You get both in this world. And so often we just want the glory part, but we can't overlook the fact that we are heirs in Christ's suffering as well. And as I think of an heir, and we all know what that is, I'm sure, what an heir is. We inherit or receive from our family what our fathers and have worked for, and it's passed on from generation to generation. And there's a story in the Bible, a parable about a child who wanted his share long before it was due to him. And that's the story of the prodigal son. And I'm not going to go through it every step by step, what went on with this young man. But we all know the story. He wasn't happy in where he was in his life. He just wasn't happy. So he went to his father, who was quite wealthy, by the way, to have servants and all that back then. He was a very wealthy man. And he asked his father for his share of the inheritance. And his father gave it to him and he took off. Now, he obviously didn't have good intentions in mind because he squandered that away. Who knows what all he spent it on? I don't think we even want to know. But he's out and about and he's wasting all this money. And he gets it all spent and gone. And instead of going home, tucking his tail and going home right away, he tries to find a job. And he's feeding these pigs. And feeding them slop. And basically garbage. If you think about what pigs eat. Back then, they didn't have feed mills like we do now. They didn't go and feed their pigs ground up corn and bean meal and minerals all in this. No. They fed their pigs garbage. Most of it was probably moldy, rotten garbage. And this kid is actually thinking of eating it because he has nothing. But if you pay attention, if you think about that, he'd rather eat that slop than go home and face his father in fear of being rejected. Have you ever thought of it that way? He was afraid his father would reject him when he returns. And I know each and every one of us, many times in our lives, have laid in bed in fear of something or worrying about things because we just want them to work out a certain way, or there's this problem that we're facing that we don't know how is going to work out for us. And we worry and we fret over things, and we don't we can't rest because of what's taking place or what's going on. But we don't see the big picture. We don't see the big picture. And that's what the prodigal son's, a bit of his problem was. He didn't see the big picture. He didn't have children of his own. He's never experienced that love that Steve talked about this morning. The way Trish hugged her son. The love that a parent has for their child. That child did not know that. The prodigal son had never had that love to give. Didn't experience that before. So he couldn't quite grasp that yes, his father was disappointed in him, but he loves him. And he's going to wrap his arms around him and take care of him and accept him and welcome him home. And that's exactly what the father did. Welcomed him home. But the prodigal son, his brother, little bit different story there. And it I think that part, a lot of it is added because we can see that yes, his father suffered, but the entire family did as well. And this kid's out running around playing, wasting all his money. He upset a lot of people. But his father still accepted him back. And all those times that we're laying there, we don't see the big picture and we're worrying about things. Just remember, our Father loves us. God loves us more than anything we can ever even try to grasp. And as we suffer in this world today, as we go through loss and we experience death and all that we can't avoid in this world, we don't see the big picture. We don't see how God is working in all this suffering. And I guarantee you, He does. In everything that we go through, God is working. And if I have to suffer a little bit in my life so somebody else can receive that glory that God has promised us, then so be it. Let me suffer. But it's also hard because who really wants to suffer? Nobody. It's one of them things that we're drawn, that tears us apart. Because we don't want to suffer, but we know as Christians that we're suffering for God. And as we do that, we have to keep in mind, as we suffer in this world, we have to keep in mind of what's to come. Of what is to come. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning about how strange it is that anybody that's not a Christian can make it through this crazy world. Because they don't have that future to look forward to. That future when we're in heaven and we can experience God's full glory and His love. And sin doesn't get in the way. Doesn't get in the way. But what our scripture is telling us today is as we go through this, as we experience little glimpses of glory along the way, we are going to suffer. We are going to experience some pains as we go. Romans 8, 19 through 25. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. We wait patiently. The creation waits in eager expectation. Waits in eager expectation. And as we look at that term creation, it's important to understand what Paul is talking about there. And creation for you children especially, you have to grasp, you have to understand, and you have to believe that God created this world, that God had a hand in creating every little thing that we experience, that we do, that we see, that we eat, the air that we breathe. If you don't buy into this God that created everything, then the rest of it is really just, it's going to fall apart on you later in life. You have to believe that God created this world. You have to believe it. But what Paul is talking about here is something a little bit different. And as you do some research and you look at the Greek words that Paul used when he was writing this, he wasn't talking about creation as a whole. He was talking about us. We are God's creation. Each and every one of us that have children created those children. Now, God had a hand in it. I will give you that. It was all because of Him. But God created us. We are the creation that Paul is talking about here. And Paul makes two very important points in these verses. And it's, you kind of got to look through and you put them together. But the two are that, number one, that we as humans are frustrated because of sin. Because of sin, we are frustrated. The second point, and that's why I titled to the sermon, Future Glory. The second point Paul is making is that someday, some glorious day, whether it's when we enter those gates in heaven or when Jesus returns, someday we will be liberated from sin. We will see a world, we will see a time where sin does not affect or get in the way between us and God. Those are the two points Paul is making today. And Paul compares this to childbirth. And it's kind of an odd thing, and I'm going to stick with that illustration as we go. From a man's perspective, I don't know a lot about childbirth. A lot more women, you can relate to this a lot better, but being a male up here preaching a lot of Sundays, you hear illustrations from a man's perspective or that relate a little bit better. So I'm going to try this whole childbirth thing, so I might need a little bit of grace there. Okay? I might need a little bit of grace, and it might be a quiet evening at our house tonight after church, but I'm going there. But anyhow, we get frustrated because of sin. Whether it's a sin we commit or whether it's a sin that somebody else commits and it really affects us, we get frustrated. I know I do, and probably each and every one of you in here has a family member or multiple people, whether it's family or close friends, that you've just been praying for that constantly keep causing frustration after frustration. And it's because you love that person. But this frustration, really, it can eat at you. And it can drive you pretty much crazy. But sin has horribly, horribly messed up this world. I mean, you guys have been frustrated at times, right? It's not just me, I'm hoping. Okay. But you see where I'm getting at. We will see a world where that frustration does not exist. Or maybe not a world. I mean, when we're in heaven, when we're in glory, that frustration will not be between us and God. That sin is what Paul's talking about here. And I remember when Deanne was pregnant. There goes one of the childbirthing things. But when she was pregnant with Olivia, it was all butterflies and roses. And it really was. We were excited to have our first child. We were excited. And it was a glorious thing. And as time went on and things changed and her body changed, we were still excited. But then the other three pregnancies, I won't call it quite that glorious. Okay? And I can't believe we actually had more than two children, but but it's as things change, it just gets. It got frustrating towards the end, especially the last month, I will say, just watching her the last month of each pregnancy, watching her even try to get out of bed or get comfortable in bed or all these things, how frustrated she was because she's an active person. And I wasn't really there with Olivia because we were so excited to have our first child. Not that we weren't excited to have the other three. It's not what I'm getting at there. Don't take it that way. But that frustration was real, and we all experience. We all experience that frustration. And one of the frustrations that we see a lot in this world, and I know I've experienced, and it's okay if you don't want to admit you've experienced it, but we all have. We've all thought this, that we get frustrated because we see people that don't believe in God, that live a lifestyle that we would not be in support of. The people that say, well, if I'd come to church, but the walls will fall in because of the lifestyle I'm leading. But you see those people succeed in life, at least in this earth. You see them succeed. You see them get good jobs. You see them get the fanciest cars or all these things. And sometimes as Christians, we sit there and get frustrated thinking, well, where's my blessings? What's going on? But what Paul is telling us today is that we are truly the blessed ones. We will get to see God's future, future glory. We will get to see his glory without sin getting in the way. And that truly deep down, those people that look like they have it all together, that we get frustrated because they have all the latest things, they're going to miss out if we don't share the gospel with them, if we don't befriend them. Psalms 37:3, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. Do not fret. You see, we have to understand and we have to give God control. We have to understand that God is in control. We have to understand that. When we're suffering because a family member has passed on, or when we're suffering because, why am I going through this, God? Why are my children, why is my child that I raised in church, why are they wayward like the prodigal son? Why? We as humans don't see the big picture. We don't see it. As parents, as we instruct our children, there's a lot of times that they'll be doing something and we'll tell them to stop. And they don't want to. They don't want to stop swinging on the rope that's tied to the tree branch because it's so much fun. But as a parent, we can see that branch is about to break. We can see sometimes a little bit more than our kids can. And that's what God does. He sees the big picture. He knows exactly what is going on in this world, in every little aspect of our lives, in every person's life. And he sees all this. And we have to understand, we have to trust him when we're going through hard times, when we're suffering, when we're burying a loved one, whatever it is. We have to understand that suffering that we go through is for a reason. It might not be for our benefit at this time, but we will benefit in the long run. Now, I talked a lot about being frustrated from sin, and I've mixed in there a little bit of how we will be liberated from sin. But here goes. We're going to go back to talking about childbirth. And as a mother, I'm speculating here because I haven't experienced it firsthand, but as a mother, you can't wait for the birth of this child. One, because you already love that being that's living inside of you. But you can't wait. I know our children, Deanne couldn't wait to have them because she was sick of them living in her. Okay? Frustrated. But you can't wait for that. She couldn't wait for that pain to be over. From the uncomfortableness, and then once labor started, you can't wait for that pain to be over and to be liberated from that. But think about that child as well. I know our children were quite active inside there, and think of when that child is first born, how wonderful it must feel to just stretch their legs and take a deep breath and breathe in this air, this life that God gave them, and to be liberated. What a day. And when we get to heaven, or Jesus returns to this earth, that's what we're going to feel like. We're going to be able to stretch our arms and take a deep breath and just experience God's full glory. And it will be. I promise you it will be a beautiful, beautiful day. I say day, there's no time there, but you will be completely, all your sorrows, all your struggles of this life will be completely wiped away. When we see a day when sin is not between us and God, not between us and God, when that magnet that Steve showed us is not trying, having sin in the way to keep us from coming together beautifully with God, we will see that day. And we need to celebrate as we suffer in these times and in our lives with whatever turmoil or struggles we're going through, as we suffer through them, we can do it with a smile, because we know there will come a day when that won't happen. And Paul ends this in verse 19, he mentions about how we eagerly await that day. We get excited for that day when sin will not get in the way. Now, in my mind, guys, this one's for you, this illustration. In my mind, it throws me back, or takes me to the opening day or the week we get to go to West Virginia and go hunting. And truthfully, it's not about hunting. It's about the week long. And this year, it's going to be very special because I haven't spent much time with my father lately. But I know I get to spend a week with him. Just me and him and a few other guys, my grandfather, my uncles, my brother, my best friend. And every year when we're done hunting that week, on the way home, we're already looking forward to coming back and getting to experience that again. And I know each of you has something that you do every year or every so often that you just can't wait for that day to come. And the night before it happens, you don't sleep. Most of my trips when I drive myself to West Virginia, down there that week, believe it or not, I leave the house usually about 10 or 11 at night because I don't sleep anyway. So I drive down there because I'm that excited to go. That's how excited we should be for that day when we're in heaven, when we see God's glory. And that excitement, we can't help but share it with others. And so as we think about and we see our suffering, and we all want this perfect little world where we don't have anything get in our way. We don't, you know, we all, and we have to admit it, we all want to get in a boat of life and travel from here to Africa and not hit one wave along the way. I mean, that's what we want, but it's not going to happen. But that day is coming. We just have to look to that day when all this will be forgotten. And like the pains of childbirth, Deanne had four children. Not once did the pain medicine work. And it wasn't by her choice, trust me. But not once did that pain medicine work. And if it was me, we'd only had one, I guarantee you. But there's something about watching her hold our first child, and our second child, and our third child, and our first child. And you could just see as you watch her hold that baby. Did I get the right number there? Okay. Anyhow. But we only have four, trust me. But you could see her holding this child, knowing. And I just witnessed her go through all this pain. But you could just see all that pain just suddenly wash away and become worth it because she's holding this thing that she loves. Our pain and our suffering will be gone, completely forgotten about when we see God's full glory. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we just lift you up and praise you. And Lord, whatever suffering we see and we will face in this world, whether we're facing it now or we will in the days to come, Lord, we pray. We pray for strength to get through it. We knowingly pray that you will be with us, and we ask you to be with us through it all. And that our suffering, Lord, may it lead others to your glory and to share in your love and to feel your love. And Lord, we pray and look forward to the day where sin does not get in the way and that we can experience your full glory. And Lord, when one brother or sister in this family hurts, that we all share in that. And I just want to pray a special blessing for Roger and his mom and their entire family right now. Lift them up. Surround them with your love. And God, God, just give him a big hug from all of us here. In Jesus' name.